Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this episode of Beyond the Romance Drama Podcast. I am your host, Carolyn Hines, and this is a very special podcast because it's actually a live recording, and I am joined by a guest, Ninja, to discuss It's Okay to Not Be Okay. And the reason it's special, and the reason we're discussing this particular drama, is that we are taking part in the 2022 KPSN Podcast Fest event. And this has been going on for the last 2 days. So today's Sunday, and it began yesterday, Saturday. And it is done with, and it is done to raise awareness and funds for mental health awareness. So Beyond the Romance is joining K-pop Social Night and raising funds for Minority Mental Health Awareness Month. This is July at KPSN Podcast Fest 2022. And so we're asking everyone to join us and other special guests for online philanthropy and fun Hallyu event. And this is still, and you can learn more about this on the kpsn.com site, where you can go to events, the event subpage, and learn everything about the fundraising at the KPSN site and what they do. And this has been an amazing, I've been having a blast doing this. This Saturday night, I did my OSC spaces, and we played some great songs from dramas that I haven't watched and songs that I haven't known, but it was just great interacting with everyone, and the requests were amazing. And as I said, I'm joined by a guest, Ninja. So before we begin, Ninja, I would like you to introduce yourself and tell everyone who you are and also why you in particular and why you love this drama. It's Okay, That's Love.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ninja, or Nin. I am a cast member, like a panel member on X-Cast, a Black One Bebe podcast. I'm also on Twitter, putting out very shady, shady takes on music and dramas. I specifically like It's Okay, That's Love because of the handling of mental health. A lot of times when you're watching dramas from Asian societies, they tend to stereotype a lot of stuff, or it could get a little offensive, but I feel like they really handled a lot of the mental health situations in this drama very delicately, and you could tell there was a lot of research that went into them. So I quite enjoyed this, and of course I'm a romance lover, so Jo In Sung, Gyo Shin giving us the best butterflies and all that. So I was giving my whole life with this drama. I'm excited to join Carolyn. Thank you for inviting me, and I hope we have a good discussion.
Oh, we will. I love the reason I love this drama is the same thing as yours, is because I think this drama is, to me, to date, having seen so many dramas since then, since I first watched this drama, I think it was around late 2014, early 2015, where I was like, this is the best drama that has handled mental health not only mental health, but mental health awareness with regards to the people around those people with mental illness and how they interact with it, as well as therapy. And talking about the treatment options, it's not just medication, it's about counseling, psychotherapy, as well as physical therapy with regards to exercise and stuff. Like, they go through it a lot. So we'll get into that. But I will read a brief synopsis of the film. A brief synopsis of the drama, as I usually do, and then we'll get into it. As I said, I like to discuss my cons first before the pros, because I like to end on a good note, but we'll see how that goes. Like, there's no reason we should end on a bad note because I just love this drama. So It's Okay, That's Love premiered in 2014, and it was directed by Kim Kyu-tae and No-hee Kyung. And they've actually worked together a few times. Like, their most recent drama actually was Our Blues. And that one is a drama that I started, but I was on vacation, and I'm like, this drama is going to make me cry. I'm not going to watch any drama that's going to make me cry while I'm on vacation back in Barbados. But they've worked a few times before, and I think they did a fantastic job with this drama. And it stars Jo In Sung, who plays Jang Jae-yol, who is a mystery writer and radio DJ. He suffers from an obsession. And Ji Hye-soo, who is played by Kang Kyo-jin, is going through her first year fellowship in psychiatry at a university hospital, and she sold psychiatry because she didn't want to perform surgeries. And after she meets Jang Jae-yol, her life goes through big changes. And you guys know who are listening to this, who are familiar, knows that I go through spoilers. And for any new listeners, brace yourselves. If you have not watched It's Okay, That's Love, and you don't want to hear spoilers, go watch the drama and then come back and listen to this episode of Beyond the Romance. If you don't mind spoilers, please stay tuned. So the cons, I always like to let my guests go first. So for you, Nin, what are any cons with this drama that you have?
So I wrote some notes, and the two cons that popped up in my head even before I did my rewatch. I'm stumbling all over my words. The two cons, the first one was the relationship between Sukwon and Onyon, I think her name is, but Kwang Soo's character and Sung Kwan's character, right? Very early on in the drama, episode 4, they established that she's a minor, and they made this whole deal about, you know, In Song's character calling her pretty, just for her to be the love interest of Kwang Soo's character, like 6 episodes later. I was very irritated with that, because my whole thing is, you have already established she's a minor. Even if she turned 20 and was no longer a minor's age by the end of the drama, she's a high school student. She has no business being the love interest of a 28-year-old man, regardless of his mental health situation. So that irritated me to no end. If anyone ever asked me what's the worst thing about that show, that would be it. Like, I hate that plot line, and I genuinely skipped it during my rewatch. And then the second con for me was how lackadaisical they were about discussing cases, right? They would just bring up situations at dinner, just talk about it in front of non-healthcare professionals, and use those conversations to come up with different treatment plans for their patients, even though they weren't like, you know, disclosing patient confidentiality. I just found it very strange, like they would give specific patient history as like a hypothetical and then use those conversations to, you know, treat their patients. Those were the two main points that I was just like, come on, bro.
I'm with you with regards to the relationship. I remember the first time I watched It's Okay, That's Love. I was like, oh, the phone. I'm like, well, even though she's still legally no longer a minor when they officially got together, it's the whole thing with regards to, like, he's still waiting for her to become legal. That's a problem. And then it's also like her mentality was still very much immature. You know, like once they became a couple, like she was still very much very dependent and needy on him emotionally, right? And that has a lot to do with her background and everything. And I'm like, is no one going to say, you know what, you still need to like grow some more, mature some more before you get into a relationship with someone like Sukwon. And I, like, all my rewatch this week, I feel the same way. She in no way belongs in any relationship with a man who is 28 years old, and one where she is like emotionally dependent on him, because she keeps saying, I love you, don't leave me. You know, she's like, I'm becoming better for you. Like, I want you to keep loving me so I'm going to become a better person. There's nothing wrong, of course, with becoming a better person, because she was she was quite bratty at the beginning. But like, you shouldn't want to become a better person for the person that you are in a relationship with. You should want to become a better person for you. You know, you should want to become a better person because that's just how you're supposed to be as a human being. You should be decent. You should be nice. You know, you should be caring and kind because that's just being a decent human being. You shouldn't do that just because you're in a relationship with someone. And that relationship still bothers me to this day, because like in one episode, she's still in her uniform, and in the next, she's no longer in her uniform just because, and I'm like, yeah, she had her birthday and she's like 19 now, but she's not even 20, right? Because she was like saying, I'm turning, and she's like 18, but we know in like Korean age, that means that she's like a year older. And I'm like, this is a problem, people. And then the way how they were discussing patient histories and diagnosis and stuff, I've realized in Korean dramas, patient confidentiality is not a thing. Patient confidentiality does not exist in Korean dramas. And I think that's something I think differentiates them between, to me, Chinese dramas and Japanese dramas. When you watch like medical dramas and stuff, I find in Japanese and Chinese dramas, if they have anything medical to discuss, they always do it with another doctor. Like, you know, if it's set in a hospital, they'll discuss
it right.
Who know the patient, and they're all working together. But K-dramas, no. They'll go be discussing, they'll be talking on their phone about a patient on phone in a hallway, in a taxi, like to their family members. And I'm like, yeah, you may not mention a patient's name, but you're still discussing private medical information. Why are you doing this? And like using it as a hypothetical to get information. And to me, while that bothers me, I think the reason the writer was doing it was to show that even people who work in these jobs don't know everything, and that sometimes it takes someone who is outside of the profession or who has an outside perspective to like give them an idea, like to help them to see things differently, which I like and which I got, because that's one of the things I discussed with the pros. But the fact that they're just discussing people in medical information all willy-nilly, like, come on now, like that's just not done. Like, patient confidentiality is not a thing.
You're right. Because as someone who watches Asian media from all Asian countries, I have noticed that in Korea, like, patient confidentiality is just a vibe. It's a suggestion, not a requirement.
Like, they don't ever mention it.
You know, whereas opposed to like when you watch a Chinese drama, right? The person's, you know, husband will get hit by a car and they'll go and ask if they're in the hospital, and the Chinese nurse will be like, I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, you don't know their exact name, birthday, social security number, where they were hit, what color car hit them. They're not in this hospital. Korea, right. Any random person off the street could be like, is so-and-so in this hospital? And they'll be like, yep, he's in room 235. Take the elevator up, go left, open the door. The security code is 1212.
Yeah, they'll be like, someone running and say, I'm this patient's guardian. Prove to me you're their guardian. I need to see ID card. I need to show me a picture of you standing next to this person to prove that you're a guardian. Like, there was another drama that I was watching. It was, oh my God, it was a medical drama. So like this woman.
Dr. Romantic?
No.
Hospital playlist.
It's not doctor lawyer. It's not doctor lawyer. Oh, it's doctors.
Okay.
The one in doctor, and it stars the same actress who
with Park Shin Hye.
Park Shin Hye. I always mix her with Suzy, you know. I always confuse the two of them. But yeah, am I the only person who does that? Mixes up Park Shin Hye with Suzy. Am I?
Maybe. I mean, for me personally, Suzy just brings up very negative feelings when I watch her. So the minute she's on the screen, I know it's her because my heart's like, nope.
Okay, we're gonna have to discuss that later. it's the one Park Shin Hye, and there's a couple episodes in it where this lady, she got into she was attacked, and so she was in a coma, but then she woke up, but she was in what you call she has locked-in syndrome, which is where you're awake
I remember the episode.
You're cognizant, but you can't move your body. So the only way they can communicate is with their eyes, and it's a real condition. And this husband, and these people are buying that this man is her husband because he says he's her husband.
Right. And he was in her patient care. They were talking to him about her medical condition. And I was just like, what? And they were saying how, like, he's such a good husband. And then finally, one nurse realized, like, you know, like the doctor realized she is crying every time he enters the room. There is an issue here. Come to find out, she didn't even notice, man. He's her stalker.
Like, and the thing that kills me, there was another doctor, one of the other doctors, a young one, and he's like, there's something about that guy that I don't like. And everyone kept telling him, oh, you're just being negative. He's like, no, there's something off about this guy. And no one was listening. He was like, see, I told you. But yeah, but that's another example in K-dramas where they don't verify people's identity and information, just sharing people's private information to anyone. So that part kills me in this drama every time they're doing it. I'm like, don't do that. But then another thing that I don't really like, I even in my rewatch that still bothers me is how casually they dismiss Jae-yo being beaten and abused. Like there's multiple scenes where he gets beaten up by his older brother, who is Jang Jae-boom, played by Yang Ye-jun. And they just like, people surprised. People take forever to step in to prevent him from beating up Jae-yeol. Jae-yeol gets beat up so much in his drama. And even like after the brother he's on, he gets like a temporary leave from prison because for good behavior. And he beats him up, damages property. And because Jae-yeol is like, I am guilty, so he feels guilty. So he said, I'm going to pay for this, so call the police. I'm like, what the hell? And he's beaten up, broken. And he went into beat up his brother in the hospital. And he just got to walk away. I'm like, this is assault in a hospital. His ass needs to be locked up. This man's a danger. And they're just like, oh, because he had a traumatic child. I'm like, so did Jae-yeol, but he's out here beating up no one. Right? So that still is my problem with this drama. How, like, no one ever actually addresses the abuse that he suffers as an adult. Like, a lot of the drama is, like, talking about because his trauma is because he's a child. Like, it happened while he was a child, and he's seeing Gang-woo as an adult because he created him as a protective mechanism and all of that. But I'm like, are we not going to discuss that this man was actually abused as an adult as well? What his brother is doing to him is abuse. Is violent, and it never gets addressed, which to me for this drama still boggles my mind, because the drama touches on abuse and it's about abuse, but they don't talk about abuse of older people. Like, just because you're an adult doesn't mean that it's not an abusive relationship, you know?
You know, that's very interesting, because one of my first pros of this drama addresses that exact same point. And it's interesting that you brought it up, because I don't, obviously I'm not going to talk about my pro, but I'll segue to say that that is interesting that they never address him allowing his brother to abuse him. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Because there's that factor in it as well. It's not that, oh, he's getting beat up and no one is addressing it. It's that he is allowing himself to be beat up. Right. Like, his brother attacked him at his party on his birthday. And it was just like, he's on the ground bleeding out from being stabbed with a fork. And he just looks over at his brother and he was just like, that fool, look at my brother. Right. Oh, young. Like, he's so lackadaisical about mm-hmm. the fact that he is being abused by his brother. And throughout the drama, as his brother attacks him, it's not so much that others are not addressing it. It's also that he is just like taking it as his due, like he owes his brother this, like, you know, like a punching bag, or mm-hmm. that because of his guilt for allowing his brother to go to prison for something that he didn't do and messing up his brother's psyche. Okay, I deserve this because I did something bad. I deserve this. And I think that's the difference, because as you said, they do address abuse and a lot in the drama, and how abuse can trigger, you know, post-traumatic stress, and abuse can trigger mental health. Yet they don't talk about that, which I find very interesting. When we get to the pros, that'll be my first point about that.
Right. And the other thing about that is that the something that they don't actually ever mention in the drama is that They, for instance, Jae-yeol keeps saying, oh, he's like, you know, my brother is, he's only like this because of abuse, and like, he's not a danger. He's only a danger to me. I'm like, that's not true, because at the party, he attacked other people. That's one of the main reasons he got sentenced to the 30 months, because he didn't want to attack Jae-yeol. He attacked like three other men, like the men who were trained to put him off for Jae-yeol. He stabbed them, and he stabbed one of them repeatedly in the stomach, and the guy was on the ground bleeding. So I'm like, he's a danger to other people too, you know. He's a danger to anyone who gets between him and Jae-yeol. So like, that's something again that the drama like just doesn't address. And like, yes, he was abused as a child. Yes, he was sentenced to prison unfairly. Yes, he went through a lot, but that doesn't excuse him being violent to other people, you know. It doesn't excuse him being violent to Jae-yeol. It doesn't excuse his violence towards his mother. It doesn't excuse his violence towards other people. And like, no one ever mentions that this man has an anger problem.
Right. Yes. So Mira asked, like, stabbed him with a what? A fork. Like, literally with a fork, came to the party, picked one up, and was like, I'm going to stab you repeatedly with this. And Carolina, you said something so, like, important, right? No matter what your mental health situation is, it does not excuse you from other issues. Like, it doesn't excuse the fact that you're committing violence, right? Just because you're mentally, you know, like you have a mental health issue, it does not mean that you get a pass to be a violent offender. And I think I will not say that this drama did this, because I have seen other Asian dramas where they criminalize mental health, right? Like, oh, he is a violent offender because he has mental health, right? I think with this drama, they're like, he's violent towards Jae-young because he has a lot of anger towards him because of his abuse. But you're right. They don't address the fact that this man is just violent. He has anger management issues. But I think the character that Dong-il plays, the Sunbae, I think his name is Dong-bin in the drama. He does kind of talk about, like, he can't control his emotions. Mm-hmm. This person has anger issues, but they never treat it, which I think that's the thing in the drama. Like, it's mentioned, yeah, his anger is not just because he was abused. His anger is because he doesn't know how to control his emotions. But they never treat it, whereas most of the other mental health issues in the drama, they talk about treatment. They, as you said, it's not just, okay, you go to therapy, there's medication, there's counseling, there's maintenance. Like, once you get, you know, like, once you get counseling and you get on medication, it's not, okay, well, here's a bottle of pills, go on about your way. No, it's, you have to continue to talk about it and unpack the traumas that you're dealing with and find the root cause to this, so that maybe you can eventually get off the medication, or if you're going to be on medication for the rest of your life, you can learn to maintain it.
Exactly. So, because, and the other thing is, like, we know, like, as the audience, while he was in prison, he was plotting to kill Jae-yo. Because, you know, like, after the second thing, he's like, I'm going to kill him. And then if I kill him, the other doctor, Dong-min, is going to say that I'm doing it because of everything that happened. And he's like, I'm going to get off early. So he's like, I'm making these roses because my mom is going to need roses after my brother's gone. And, like, right. Again, something that never gets addressed. So I'm like, you have this character who's extremely violent, who is who needs psychological help. And for a drama whose main premise is about treating mental illness, acknowledging, treating, and working with mental illness, you got a whole character whose embodiment is not only mental illness, but he is physically dangerous to other people. You're just going to ignore that. And, like, that's still, I watch this drama, like, this is my third time, and that still does not make sense to me. I'm like, he's a walking doom cloud. He was,
but you know what?
And Jae-yo says, oh, he's not a danger. I'm like, because, you know, the whole thing with the fork, Jae-yo was like, if he wanted to kill me, he would have used the knife. I think one reason he got he used the fork instead of knife, because that was what he could get his hands on. He would have been dead because he was going to kill him, you know? And that's another thing the drama never really addresses, the fact that Jae-yo, because of his guilt, doesn't acknowledge how dangerous his brother is.
You know what, though? Okay, so this is going to be interesting, right? Because I'm going to link this to a recent drama that I watched. I just watched Come and Hug Me, right?
Oh yeah, I haven't seen that one yet, but I know. I
think
I know.
Oh, Chef's Kiss.
Spoilers don't mean nothing to me. Spoil it away.
Okay, please. Okay. If you don't mind crying, this drama is a great one, right? Especially the male leads in this drama. And I'm one of those people who really acknowledges every actor, but the male leads in this drama were light years above everybody else in this drama. And one of the things is that there's a brother dynamic where he acknowledges that, hey, we both were raised by a serial killer dad who was violent, right? And he allows his brother to harm him, right? But I think the difference between Jae-yul and Jang Ki-yeon's character in Come and Hug Me is that he understands his brother is violent, right? And he understands his brother needs rehabilitation in prison and he needs to be stopped. But one of the things he says is that, I'm going to keep showing up, right? I'm going to keep showing up. And I think the one time that his brother actually made it his mission to like kill him and stabbed him in the show. Even his brother was shocked. Like, oh my God, what did I do? And I kind of feel like maybe I just want to give grace to the character and it's okay, that's love. But I kind of feel like, what if he had been able to get a hand on his of knife? Like, would he have this awakening like, oh shit, I've gone too far? Because that's what happens in, you know, Come and Hug Me. Like, he stabs his brother, he sees his brother is bleeding out, and it kind of turns on this light in his head, like, I've taken this too far. He's still angry. He still has all this, like, you know, in bitterness in his heart, but it's like, for him, at the end of the day, he's still, that's still his dongseng. And he can't imagine killing his dongseng. You know what I mean? So maybe I want to give grace, that's but.
That's a lot of grace.
Carolyn's like, that's too much grace. No, nope. Let's bring it back. Let's
My bring grace it back. Stands only so far. But no, but Mir said that he's similar to the character in Vincenzo. Yes, he is a character played, but actually the dynamic between his character is very similar to Taecyeon's character in Vincenzo, and the character of Jael is very similar to the younger brother played by Kwak Dong Young. And whereas but the difference between Kwak Dong Young and Jael is that Kwak Dong Young didn't think he deserved being beaten. He just didn't know how to get out of he just didn't think he didn't have the power to get out from his brother because he never believed that he deserved it. He just didn't know how to get away from his brother. Because that's the other interesting thing too, is that both shows, I think, kind of like talking about them at the same time, talk about how people who are abused, like when you're so used to being abused, you believe that this is the only way to exist, you know? And that kind of happens. There's another character in the beginning of It's Okay, That's Love. And this is also the one of the very first times we see a transgender character mentioned in a K-drama. And this character is she had gender assignment surgery, and her family was beating her up because they were saying, oh, she's mentally ill, and they were just beating her up because they thought that she was disgusting and she deserved to get beaten up, you know, because she didn't think that she was wrong, because she's like, I'm a woman, and she accepted her gender assignment, but she just believed, because of the distress that she was causing her family, that she deserved to get beaten up. And there's this beautiful scene, it's such a small scene, but it happens where
Ho-jin makes her look in the mirror.
She's like, you need to see yourself as a victim, you know, because before she wasn't looking at the bruises as being a problem, but she's like, you were a victim, you were being abused. And then she was also talking about depression. She's like, how abuse can present, can cause depression, because even the other trainee doctors, they were like, she was like, what's the problem here? They're like, oh, she's being abused in there. She's like, what's the other problem? And she's like, it's depression. She's like, this because she's depressed, you know? And that happened with Jael. So Jael was depressed. He's kind of like me. He's like a lot of depressive people. He's a functioning depressive, you know? And a lot of people think because they're able to work, you know, right, run a business, do all of these kind of things, that they're not in a depressive episode and they're not depressed because they're working. Because I think I would say media a lot has conditioned a lot of people to think of depression to look one specific way, you know?
Yes.
Where if you're depressed, you're in a messy room and you can't move. And it is like that, because I have periods like that where I don't want to get out of bed and it's very hard for me to function. But then there's other times where I'm technically in a depressive episode right now. I have been for most of the year, because last Wednesday I was prescribed antidepressants for the first time. And my doctor's like, you're in a depressive episode. And he's like, I'm a functioning depressive, and I stopped to take antidepressants. But J.U. is the same way. He believed he was okay because he was able to write and produce work. But one thing, the show does it at the beginning of the drama, but they never really touch on it again, because it's mentioned that he used to write romances, right? And then he started to write more like dark psychological thrillers. And that was an example of his mental state. You know, like, he's in a depressive episode for 3 years. He didn't know. But his writing, his work showed that, but no one paid attention to it.
You know, you mentioned the transgender woman in there. So if in the next 20 minutes we want to discuss the pros, I'm ready to jump in.
We can transition. We kind of transitioned into pros, yes, no, but that's going to help.
Okay. So for It's Okay That's Love, I have two things that I loved the most, but I'm going to focus on what you just discussed, right? In episode one, right off the bat, their handling of a trans woman for a 2014 drama, chef's kiss, beautiful. There wasn't stereotypes. They didn't, like, especially with a drama where the main characters are psychologists and psychiatrists, right? They didn't think that she needed psychiatric help because she was transgendered, right? It was more like, okay, you're transgendered. You've made the decision for yourself. Now, what else is going on in your life that is allowing you to exist in this kind of situation, right? Because I looked at it, I was just like, this is a 2014 drama. I know 2020 dramas from Korea that are not handling trans women and transgender conversations this elegantly. This, oh my gosh, like chef's kiss. And it's very realistic. It's very realistic to the society, right? You're not going to have, you know, all trans, right? Yes. No, you're going to have, you have that one person who supports you, who in this drama is her mom, like her mom sees it. But at the same time, they're battling their own societal biases, right? And I love it because Jesus, like, you know, Hojin's character in the show, she says, okay, you're right. Being gay isn't a psychiatric issue. Being trans is not a psychiatric issue. There's nothing wrong. But what else? Like, what functioning normal person exists, like, in this, like, why is she allowing herself to get beaten and not running away? Isn't it natural to run away, right? And she was like, there's something holding her there, right? Yeah. And as you said, it was a beautiful moment where she made her look in the mirror and she says to her, like, I'll never forget this line. She says, the person that you need to understand is not your family, it's yourself. Like, you have to be true to yourself. You can't try to understand the rest of the world and conform to the rest of the world. So that was like right off the bat, I was like, oh, okay, this drama is already gonna be amazing. I was here for it. But also, it's not just this one episode. Throughout the drama, the way they handle mental health and therapy, treatment, looking outside of the box, not just treating the symptoms, right? But thinking about the root cause of why people are the way they are. Like, there's another character in the show who has, who draws genitals, right? And she was thinking of it this one way, which we mentioned earlier on in our cons, like how lackadaisical they are about talking about their patient's history. But, you know, she was at dinner drinking, they were having a drink, and she was talking about how, like, you know, like, well, what's the reason that he's drawing these genitals, right? And one immediate thought was like, well, he's a pervert. Right. And then she's like, but, you know, Jaehyung's character, you know, he's like, but is he a pervert? Do you think this has something to do with consent? Like, he brought a different perspective. Right. So it's looking at mental health from every angle and realizing that not everyone's lived experience is the same. You know, like, not everyone will have the same symptom, and or their symptomology might not equate to the same end diagnosis, which I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed. And just as an aside, my favorite thing about this drama is the OST. Chen might be anti-Black, but whoop, that boy don't ever miss when it comes to with OST, honey.
It's a good OST. I played it last night. I played the theme song, and then I played the song by Chen, Best Luck. That one is a really good OST, too.
Chen don't ever miss.
He's a good anti singer. But what's this about the anti? Anywho, let's not digress. but yeah, the thing that's one of my favorite things about it is because they look at mental illness and the treatment of mental illness as a holistic, from a very holistic approach, because they show you the one thing that the drama does very carefully, and I think it's very subtle, is they show you there's two main ways to treat mental illness. We can do it formally in a psychiatric hospital with psychiatrists around you, with medicine, you know, with restraints, and that's sometimes that's necessary. But then there's the alternative version where you can have it in a more relaxed environment where Like at the hospital, you have Hae-soo and then you have Young-jin who are the psychiatrists at the hospital. But then you have Dongmin's character who has his own clinic in the house that Jae-yo owns, but it's like an informal setting. It's more relaxed. It looks more like a home, you know, it doesn't look like a medical office. And it shows you that for different people, like the different approaches work for different people. So sometimes medicine is needed and sometimes you just need group therapy. Sometimes you need a formal setting like a hospital and sometimes you need a clinic that in a more relaxed place that looks like a home. And then there's also, you have the whole approach where like they show different mental illnesses, but also different illnesses that may be things that people do that may be considered mental illness. Like you mentioned the teenager who was drawing genitals. And like Jae-yo, one thing I love about Jae-yo, like, yeah, at the beginning we talked about how they're so lax with the medical confidentiality. But I think one of the reasons they did that is to show like for Jae-yo, he is kind of like, he's an outside observer and his perspective is like, he looks at things differently. He gets Hae-soo to look at things differently. And I think a lot of it has to do with their own lived experiences, not only because of his abuse, but he is more worldly than her. You know, he's an author. He writes different books. He meets different people. So he's a radio DJ. And he talks to different people and he gains a more worldly perspective on how things are. Whereas she's very closed off. She's very repressed actually because of her own trauma as a child. And the way how she thinks about sex kind of colors, the way she views all relationships between men and women or the male and female and anything regards to sex, she kind of always automatically looks at it from a negative perspective. Whereas for Jae-yo, he always had a positive perspective on sex. And the whole genital things, okay, so if he was drawing arms and legs, it wouldn't be a problem. So why is that a problem if he's drawing genitals? Because he's like, genitals are natural part of the human body. You know, he's like, you go into museums and there's sculptures of naked people. Why is it okay in a museum, but why is it wrong for him to be drawing it on a book, right? And he was just like, it's just genitals. You know, he's like, it's not a big deal. Right. And he was like, and he's like, and because like the boy wasn't drawing them in a grotesque way. They weren't mutilated or anything where it might show like some kind of sexual disorder. It was just like regular genitals. But then we find out it has to do with him seeing his own mother having sex. And that's traumatic for any child. Like, you don't want to see your parents having sex, right? And then that's Hae-soo understood because she has her own trauma from realizing that her own mom was having an affair. Right. So like she realized, okay, I'm letting my own prejudices and my own biases color my judgment as a doctor. So I think that's also one thing that does really what it shows that doctors don't know everything and that doctors have their own issues and they bring their own biases and preconceptions to their work. And that is very hard for anyone, no matter what job you're doing, to kind of like separate. You can't separate everything clear cut. It's impossible because we're human. We're emotional beings. And like our emotions will run over and our own experiences will eventually color the way we see things in our jobs. And they're showing you that's okay, but it's about how you handle it. Once you realize it, what are you going to do with the realization, right? And that's one a beautiful thing with this drama. And another thing about it is that I love the patient. Everyone in this is so patient. Jae-yo is so patient. He is so patient with her.
More patient than... She was annoying sometimes. She was petty. The first three episodes, I was like, this girl deserves to be slapped. Somebody needs to tell her about herself. But you know what? Not only was he patient, he was straightforward, mm-hmm. right? And he said it very early on. Episode like two, he was like, I give as good as I got, right? Yeah. And it's the, like, okay, so, like, in the Caribbean, you know, they say, well, I think Americans say it too, but it's like, you know, if it's an eye for an eye, everyone's walking around blind, right? So yep. He kind of trains her, like, don't do to me what you don't want me to do to you. Like in the episode, she throws a glass of wine at him, right? And he knocks on her door and throws a glass of wine at her. Like he was like, don't do that to me. Or like there, and he has really good communication, which I love mm-hmm. because in the drama, she makes a lot of assumptions about him. And he says, believe people when they tell you something, right? Because she has all of this mindset that like, okay, the people that I trust, they're always going to be honest with me. And the people that I don't trust, and because I don't like them, that I can, you know, like I can distrust what they said. But like, he was like, trust me when I say something the first time around, you know, or I'm going to take it to the further thing. One other thing that I really loved about the drama was that you don't seek mental treatment And you can't be dependent on your significant other during your mental treatment. Cause you know, like towards the end, what, like we, the audience can see that he has schizophrenia and that he suffers from delusions and stuff like that. Right. But no one else in the drama knows it until way later. Like, you know, like I think like episode 12, 13, that's when they start to realize that he isn't just someone with OCD. Cause in the earlier episodes, they introduce that he has OCD. Like he even says to her, I have OCD, right? But we, the audience from episode 4, we can see that he's suffering from hallucinations, right? And when they like, towards the end of the drama, she's like, I still love you and I'm gonna be there for you, but you can't depend on me for your treatment. You have to get well first. Mm-hmm. Right, you have to get well. Like your ultimate goal isn't to think about loving me right now. You have to think about loving yourself and getting well. Like that was so beautiful for me in the drama. Like it was like you have to think about getting well. Like you know what I mean? Sometimes, a lot of times, people are like, "I'm mentally ill, but because I have love in my life, I'm just gonna pretend that like this doesn't exist." And in the drama, they're like, "No, you can't bury your head in the sand just because you got somebody that makes you feel good."
Mm-hmm. No, it's true, because like even from my own experience, like I have my sister, and like while she's a fantastic support for me, she can't be there for me all the time. She can't live in my body, you know. She can't experience what I'm going through. I can tell her, but she still only has an abstract idea of what I'm going through. And the drama is, that's about one of the main things for the drama, is that you have to want to get better for yourself, you know. Your partner, your parent, your sister, your anyone around you can want to be supportive for you. They can be there, but they can't help you get better. You have to want to get better for yourself. You want to be there for your mental health and for your own physical well-being. And that's the whole thing with the, that's why they kind of had that. I think Gangwoo is an embodiment of that. That's what he represents. Because while he is, for script-wise, he is supposed to, he represents Jaeyo's younger self, the younger self he wished he could have protected, the younger self that he wished other people had protected when he was being abused. And that's him. And like he had to learn to let his past go. He had to learn to forgive himself as well, for not being able to protect himself, because he was a child, you know. He was a child. He didn't have anyone else to protect him, but he carried a lot of guilt for what happened to his brother. He carried a lot of guilt for himself as well. But I think also metaphorically, like Gangwoo represents the fact that we have to want to get better for ourselves, and he represents the fact that you have to acknowledge that there's something wrong. He's the representation that there's something wrong here. There's something not quite right. And when I can see him and I acknowledge, okay, that's wrong. But then once you realize I need to fix this, I need to work on this, that's when it starts to go away, you know? And it's going away, not that you're ignoring the problem, but it's going away because you acknowledge there's a problem. So I love that metaphor. And that's one of my favorite things, the drama, because there's so many visual metaphors in this drama. Like they use the colors, like I see the use of primary colors in Jaeyo's personal space as a representation that his mind, he still has a very young mind where regards to his abuse happened when he was a child and up until a teenager. So like primary colors, we associate primary colors with like red, blue, black, yellow, green, those kind of colors with childhood. So those are the colors that we were taught to use in primary school, or for like in North America and in Korea and thing, they call it elementary school, but in Barbados we call it primary school and nursery school. But I just love the representation of that, and gotta give it up for Kyung Soo, who played Gangwoo. Like he was fantastic. When I first watched this drama, I bawled my eyes out. I still got emotional when I was watching it
recently. Oh, absolutely.
The first time, I was a mess, and he did such a fantastic job.
And Dio is one of my favorite like actors, and I know there's like a, how do you say, like there's a prejudice against idol actors, and some of them are deserved. If you ever want to hear my opinions on idol actors, join me on Station Head. Yeah. But Dio is one of those people that he's just a good actor. It doesn't matter idol wise or anything. Like everything I've ever seen Dio in, he does amazing, and he was great in this. And you're right, there are a lot of metaphors. One thing is like, you know, like growing up in the Caribbean, right? If you tell people that you have mental health issues, they're like, girl, you just need to pray. Oh, you just need Jesus. Or you know, like why do you have mental health when you know you have healthy parents and that love you, da 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 da. And what this drama addresses is that you can't love someone well.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, no matter how much love a person has, it doesn't take away from, like, if your brain chemistry is not right, you, like, a person can't love you well. You know what I mean? Their love and support can help you in your journey to be well, but it can't, like, it's not enough alone to make you fully healthy. You know what I mean? And I just very much appreciated this drama. It's one of those dramas that, you know, sticks in your mind, you know, 5 years later and somebody brings it up, you can distinctly remember things you like about it. I think as someone who watches a lot of dramas, like Asian dramas, I'm pretty sure I'm well into like the 200-300 drama list at this point. There's some dramas, you know, you watch them and they're throwaways.
Yeah.
They were entertaining in the moment. You know, they were good and engaging in the moment, but then they don't drive any discourse. And then mm-hmm. there's dramas like this that drives discourse, that if somebody said, hey, let's talk about this, you know, you could talk about this for an hour and a half.
And listen, we've been going here a while, and listen, we only got like a short time left, but I could do a, like a whole part two on this drama, because this, I love right. this so much. This right. drama is so, so good, and the acting is so good, even for the characters that I don't like the brother J-Bum. Like, the reason I also don't really like the brother is because the actor Yang In-joon, he does such a fantastic job of playing this character that you dislike them. That's when I always sometimes, like, when I intensely dislike a character, I'm like, it's not only the writing, it's the actor. I'm like, you committed to this and you made me despise right. your ass. Like,
yes. Right, right. No, genuinely, the whole ensemble of It's Okay, That's Love,
mm-hmm.
chef's kiss. And I think a lot of it has to do with, like, for me personally, Gong Hyo-jin, she has never missed for me. Everything I've ever seen her in, I'm like, yes, I believe this chemistry. I believe you. You know what I mean? I've seen her in When the Camellia Blooms, The Greatest Love. Like, don't do my girl Ho-jin and Hanul, okay? They were an offbeat couple. They was cute, though. Don't do me. Don't do
me. I want them to get together. I need them in another drama, because When the Camellia Blooms, I'm like, that drama, it felt like three different dramas in one.
Yeah, there were some issues, but overall the acting was where it needed to be, so I appreciate it. Because, you know, there's some people, like, the writing is amazing, the writing is spectacular, but the actors, again, see, I am holding back the urge to slander this actor, because every time I'm like, I'll talk about Master X and slander him. Like, I just be sitting here just slandering this guy unprovoked, and I'm holding back the urge to slander him. Ooh. On your, I'll text you separately, because if I say this, I might get canceled. not on this beautiful podcast. But no, the whole ensemble did really well. For yeah. me personally, you could see the chemistry between Kwang Soo and In Sung. Like, you could tell they're friends outside of the show, right? Mm-hmm. You could tell they're buddies, because the comfort of this drama overall, like 9.8 out of 10.
Yes,
it's not very few. There's very few dramas that I would give a 10 out of 10, but
I'm with you. It's not perfect, but it's pretty darn near for, especially for my K-drama standards. It's like pretty darn close to me. And
especially a 2014 K-drama. Oh, because pre-2016 K-dramas was nothing but stereotypes and vibes.
And I find in recent dramas, they kind of slip back into stereotyping.
Very much so.
Like, some of the dramas, I'm like, you guys are feeling like dramas that were made in 2010, 2011. What's going on here? And so that's when I got to give props to the director again, Kim Kyu-tae, and writer No Hee-kyung. Like, they did the damn thing. Like, they and their team, like, they really paid close attention. And one thing I want to shout out before we start to wrap up, we talked about ensemble, but I have to give a shout out, I think, to Lee Kwang-soo, because at the beginning, I said, like, he's a very good actor, and he doesn't really get the kind of roles that he can really perform. But his character, Soo-bong, has Tourette's syndrome. And again, this is I've never seen this disability portrayed in another K-drama since. I could be wrong, but from anything that I've seen it from YK, I remember, I don't think I've ever seen it done sense. But what I love about this is that it's a disability and it's treated as a disability, but it's also shown that it doesn't hamper his life, that he can still have a normal life and that there's coping mechanisms and that, like, and one thing, again, I love J.O.'s character because he sees Su Gwang the first time having a seizure and he doesn't freak out. He just stands there and he looks curiously because he's like, what's going on? And then Dong Min explains and he's just like, oh, okay, that's what it is. Like, there's a name for it. It's a condition. That's what it is. I accept him for this, you know. He doesn't treat him any differently to help anything. And he stands up for him and he tells like, these people that were picking on Su Gwang, he's like, you don't know Tourette's syndrome, well, don't educate yourself. Don't be ignorant, you know. Don't be picking on people because you don't understand someone. He's like, go and learn, go read a book, basically.
In the drama, he also doesn't allow him having Tourette's to give him a special pass because he like because Su Gwan's character do like crosses the line a little bit and he's like, look, just because you have a disability doesn't mean that I'm gonna give you a pass. Yeah. Like, don't try me.
Exactly. Respect. Like that way
he's like, respect me.
Yeah, he draws boundaries very clearly. He's like, this, he's like, I will only let you push things so far. He's just like, do unto me as you will have me do unto you. What you give, I will give back. And he's like, speak to me respectfully. Listen to what I say, respect me as a person and I will respect you the same way. And he does that with every character he interacts with. Of course, the only person he does that with is his brother, as we discussed before. But I love that he teaches the others how boundaries are to be established and to be respected. And that's another thing the drama does as well. The one thing they do, I think they do kind of well, not perfect, but like when people realize that they're wrong, they apologize. You know, and they acknowledge that they're wrong and they acknowledge why they're wrong. And they don't just say, I'm sorry. They just say, I'm sorry that I did this. I'm sorry that I crossed, you know, and I appreciate that the drama did that because they're like, if you're going to apologize, let me know that you know what you're apologizing for, not just for, I'm sorry, and expect me to accept it.
Yes. Overall, as I said, 9.8 out of 10. Love this drama. Would recommend.
Yes, same. And for that, we're going to wrap up. So everyone, thank you again for listening to this episode of Beyond the Romance. And for everyone who is here in the KPSM space, thank you for listening to us and for your comments that you posted as well. And then tell everyone where they can find you. Promote yourself.
Oh, okay. So since this is Beyond the Romance, if you want to see my takes on dramas, please follow me at, let me, you know, I rarely give this out. I rarely, my bad.
Do whatever feels comfortable for you. If you don't want to give your Twitter handle.
No, I give it out. It's just, I have so little followers. It's at Dramas with Ninja, right? And as I said, I watch all Asian dramas from all Asian countries, not just East Asia. I watch a lot of like Vietnamese and Thai and like different, if I can find it legally, I will watch it. So if you want to follow me, Dramas with Ninja. And if you want to follow my personal, which is pretty much like a Monster X fan page, it's 404 code, CODE, Ninja 404.
I know 404 means something. What does it mean?
Not found, like it's a coding, it's a coding, it's a website like coding number 404, like not found or like error not found. So yes.
Yeah. And everyone, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at my handle at CarrieCNH. I say CNH12. You can find my most recent published work on my Authory page, so that's authory.com. / Carolyn Hines. You can find the podcast versions of Beyond the Romance on butwhythepodcast.com as well as Acast. I believe it's also on Google and other podcast streaming platforms. The video format you can find on my YouTube channel. Just use my name, Carolyn Hines, H-I-N-D as in dog. Especially, what did I say, dog? But those are cute. The S. you can find my videos with African American Film Critics Association virtual roundtables on my YouTube channel as well, and other interviews that I do for Carolyn Talks and my other podcasts. So Here's What Happened on ButWhyThePodcast.com as well as on Acast. For my drama life, please use the hashtag Dramas with Carrie. And for my OST, like Twitter Spaces, use OSTs. That's OSTS with Carrie on Twitter. I'm always on talking about random stuff, talking about dramas, films, politics, thirsting, K-pop, Speaking about K-pop, you can also find the hashtag K-pop top 10, where I and my friend Joseph give our monthly top 10 list of K-pop songs, comebacks for the month, and my Saturday night sci-fi, like she said, Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. And I think that is it. Thank you, Nen. Thank you for joining me so much to talk about It's Okay, That's Love. You can find this drama on Viki, and I was just stuck at Viki because that's the legal site. But this has been a great conversation, and thank you so much for KPSN podcast for giving me the space to talk about this, and this has been a great time. Everyone, until the next episode, stay safe. Bye.
Bye.